Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, April the 17th. You know, something we started last week, we're going to do history shows on Saturday. We're going to look back at something that happened in history that was pretty relevant for me and for you, I'm sure, and for the country, and something that we're still talking about. You know, sometimes history happens and, well, it's just a historical moment, something on the history book. But, you know, sometimes history happens and it has an impact on your life and it continues to have an impact on your life. So today we're going to go back and remember the Bay of Pigs invasion of 1961. It happened 60 years ago today. In fact, it was unfolding 60 years ago today, April 17th, 1961. And that event, in so many ways, had such an impact on my life. Had the Bay of Pigs turned out different, probably would have never left Cuba and would have grown up in Cuba, as I think a lot of Cubans would agree with me that this is one of those days that literally impacted your life. So let's talk a little bit about the Bay of Pigs and how we got to it and what happened. But before we get there, there is another big issue coming out of Cuba, another big event coming out of Cuba. And that's the announcement that Raul Castro, who, as you know, was Fidel Castro's brother, who basically took over the leadership of the country when Castro stepped aside in, I think it was 2005, when he stepped aside for health reasons. Eventually, Fidel Castro passed away in 2016. So Raul Castro has pretty much been running the country since 2005, 2006. He's been the head of the country. And he announced a couple of days ago that he was resigning as the head of the Communist Party. And, you know, moving on, he wants to pass the ball to a new generation of party members, as he calls it. Now, I don't doubt that Castro, you know, would like to retire and, you know, go away and maybe spend some time by himself without the burdens of running a country. So I don't doubt that's true. I'm sure that, you know, he's going to be 90 years old in 3 months. So, he's been obviously, when you're running a country, it's a lot of responsibility, a lot of pressure. So I don't dispute that he's probably, he wants to move on. You know, as they say, he wants to move on. I also think the timing of his decision, though, is very interesting. And I have a post coming out about this tomorrow, Sunday, because I think he is stepping out at probably the most difficult time in quite some time for the Cuban government. Because of COVID, the Cuban economy has just collapsed. Cuba really doesn't have much of an economy anymore. Ever since the collapse of communism and ever since they eliminated all the private property many years ago, Cuba has basically been a country run by the government. And everything is highly inefficient, and it's always been an economy that needs to be subsidized. Well, they don't have the Soviet subsidy anymore, and the one thing that they were always counting on, the one thing that pretty much kept them afloat, was tourism, because they were still able to attract about 2 million tourists a year from Europe and from Mexico and other Latin American countries, not that much from the United States. A little bit from Canada, but roughly about 2 million tourists who would go to Cuba and obviously spend some money. Well, that's gone. That's pretty much gone because of COVID. So you now have a country that doesn't have enough hard currency because there's no tourism, a country that doesn't really have any economy anymore because it's all been destroyed by communism. So, you know, this is probably not a bad time for Castro to bail out and say, you know, okay, I'm going to resign and let somebody else run the country. Because really, you know, we're seeing a lot of unrest in Cuba, tremendous dissatisfaction in Cuba, particularly among the young people. And then on top of that, they want to reform, but it's very difficult to reform a communist country. You either you know, it almost has to be like in the Soviet Union where they just completely overthrew it. So not a bad time, I think, for Raul Castro to bail out. Not a bad time. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the real reason he's doing it. Now, again, he is going to be 90, and I'll cut him some slack on that. You know, when you're 90 years old and you've been in power for such a long time, you probably do want to, you know, want to rest a little bit. So I cut him a little slack on that. But I think the real driving factor here is the fact that things are really starting to unravel. And my guess is that he doesn't want to be in power when that happens. And I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves the country. I just, you know, I have no information, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does. They have properties. They have properties outside of Cuba, and I wouldn't be surprised if he hides and just goes away, and we never hear about him anymore, because the situation in Cuba right now is pretty bad. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Bay of Pigs. When the Castros took over in 1959, initially they presented themselves as moderates, but eventually it didn't take long for people to realize that they were not moderates at all. And by 1960, this was a pretty, you know, there's no question that this is a government moving to the left. And in the election of 1960 between Senator John Kennedy and Vice President Richard Nixon, Cuba was a topic of discussion in one of the debates. And basically, Senator Kennedy beat up on the Eisenhower administration for refusing to do something about Cuba. And when Kennedy became president then, within a few weeks of his presidency, he learned that this invasion was being planned. It finally happened. The men landed in Cuba on this day in 1961. And the men were actually doing quite well at the beginning, because Cuba was not really ready for the invasion. Now, there was a lot of talk in Cuba about the invasion coming, because there were a lot of groups within Cuba who were already getting ready to get into action and join the brigade that was arriving in Cuba, the men who were landing. But the invasion did not necessarily require American military help, but it did need some American air power and a couple of airplanes, just to show the Cuban army that this invasion had the support of the United States. And at the last minute, for whatever reason, President Kennedy said, no, we're not going to get involved. Well, he picked a very bad time to say that, because the men were already in Cuba waiting for the help. So when they didn't get the help, then they were basically stranded on this island. On this spot of the island, the sea was behind them, and 20,000 troops were ahead of them. So it was a mismatch at that point, because had there been some air power, the air power could have easily hit the Castro's forces, and I think that they would have completely unraveled Castro's forces, because, as I said, Castro at the moment did not have a very disciplined army. And, you know, the men who were fighting there that day, many of them were forced to go there to fight. So it wasn't a very disciplined or a very committed army. And I think at the minute they had seen, if they had ever seen a couple of American planes flying over them, they didn't even have to drop bombs, just show up. I think the Cuban army would have unraveled, and Castro probably would have gotten the heck out of the country shortly after that. Well, it didn't happen that way. They didn't get the help. And then, of course, the men were overwhelmed by the Cuban forces. As I say, 20,000 men standing in front of them. They were captured. Some were killed. And then the whole thing became a huge anti-American or anti-U.S. spectacle, with, you know, these men were arrested. They were put on trial. And Castro used the opportunity to basically say that the United States had suffered a huge military defeat in Cuba. On one hand, you had President Kennedy saying, no, we had nothing to do with it, but everybody knew that these men were there because of the CIA, and the whole thing became a huge, embarrassing defeat for President Kennedy, who eventually took responsibility for the action. And, well, that was good that he took responsibility for the action, but that didn't do anything, of course, for the men who were down in Cuba. And the many, many thousands who were arrested right after that, including my father's cousin, who was arrested and thrown in jail after that. So it was a humiliating defeat for the United States. It was a humiliating defeat for President Kennedy. And in many ways, it set the tone for the relations between the United States and the Soviet Union. When President Kennedy and Premier Khrushchev met in Vienna about a month or so later, Nikita Khrushchev or Premier Khrushchev felt very much like Kennedy was weak and pushed him over and pretty much ridiculed him, really, in front of everybody. And I think, you know, by all accounts, President Kennedy walked out of that Vienna meeting quite angry at Premier Khrushchev for how he treated him and how he handled him, almost like, you know, you little immature, you know, inexperienced little punk. You know, let me tell you a couple of things about international politics. Of course, Nikita Khrushchev was much older than President Kennedy at the time. So the Bay of Pigs had a tremendous impact, not only on the Cuban people, on the many who were thrown in jail, on the many who died that day, but just even in the United States, it had tremendous political consequences. It hurt the administration of President Kennedy a great deal. It was because of the Bay of Pigs that the Soviets decided to put missiles in Cuba a year later. And at the same time, it was also because of the Bay of Pigs that President Kennedy had to react as strongly as he did. So, you know, the world went to the brink of nuclear war in October of 1962 over missiles in Cuba, and those missiles clearly would put there because Premier Nikita Khrushchev and the Kremlin, they just didn't think that President Kennedy was tough enough, that he would stand up for the United States. Of course, he did. President Kennedy did stand up for the United States in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he did put up a very strong fight, and the missiles were removed. But, you know, all of that didn't have to happen if the Bay of Pigs had gone differently 60 years ago today. Now, people like me, of course, you know, I was a kid at the time. I do remember an airplane flying over our home back then. And I remember, you know, talking to my parents about it. My parents, there was a lot of people who were very angry because they felt that they had been, they had been left stranded. That they had been promised help that never came. So a lot of people were very angry. They were very angry with President Kennedy. I remember that. And, eventually, of course, we left Cuba. Many other people left Cuba. And my whole life changed. And as I've told people many, many times, that my life, at least my life having come to the United States, happened to a large extent because of the Bay of Pigs. Had the Bay of Pigs gone different, I probably would have never left Cuba. Maybe I would have left Cuba to go to a university or something like that. But I would have never left Cuba like we did as refugees or political exiles. So the Bay of Pigs had a big impact on my life, on the life of my parents, on the life of my dad's cousin, who was arrested and thrown in jail for 14 years, on the history of Cuba, because it consolidated communism in Cuba. And we're still paying the price for that in so many ways, the people of Cuba, for what happened 60 years ago. So big event, a very big event for our history show of the week, the Bay of Pigs, 60 years ago today. It was all starting. It was all happening. And I remember down there, I was a kid down there, and I remember all the commotion and all the tension, everybody talking about the invasion and so on. And just like that, in a short time, it just ended. I think it took a couple of days, and it was pretty much over. Well, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll see you the next time we do one of our history shows. Bye-bye, everybody.